Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner. Wayne.
Hey, how you going, Luke?
Hey, Wayne, where are you?
Mate, 50K inland from Bowen on a property.
50 Ks out of Bowen?
Inland, mate. Yeah, inland from, yeah, look after 53,000 acres.
Do you really? What do you got on there? Cattle? Sheep? Both?
Cattle, mate. Cattle. On my own, mate. All on my own.
How many head of cattle have you got?
Oh, there's probably about 4,500 head here.
4,500 head of cattle. How many acres did you say?
53,000.
And you do it on your own?
Do it on my own, mate. Yep.
You got no one with you at all?
Nah, little. I just got another little dog, little foxy, mate. Yeah. People, I manage the place. I look after. I don't call myself a manager. I call myself a caretaker, but I look after the property for the people that own it.
Yeah.
And they come up and mustering. We're pulling weaners off at the moment. We've got about 1,000 head of weaners in the yards at the moment that we're feeding.
Have you had much rain?
No, mate, no. Since the beginning of the year, 14 inches.
So how are you coping?
Oh, mate, yeah, I love it.
Have your cattle got enough feed?
Oh, we'll be doing it pretty tough. We've running lick out at the moment, wet lick, what, molasses and that. But, yeah, you just got to keep it up to them. Yeah.
Yes, you do. So you sell your cattle to the abattoirs?
Oh, abattoirs, some mates, they do, yeah, and some they sell privately, you know, export and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah.
How much a kilo do you get for a cow these days?
Oh, mate, I don't go into that. I don't ask the owners that. But my job is to look after the cattle, run water, run fences, keep fences in order.
Yep, yep.
That's none of my business. I don't ask.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. You know your job, and that's what you do.
Yeah, mate. 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day.
Is it good money? Can you make good money doing what you're doing?
Oh, mate, yeah. I live here. We've got three dongas here. I've got a 40-foot donga that's kitchen and TV and dining room. And then we've got two other 40-foot dongas that have 8 rooms for workers. But I don't live in the main house. The owners come up with their grandchildren and everything like that. They've got a brick home here. It's comfortable, mate. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's a special life, but only certain people could do it. And it sounds like it suits you.
Oh, you get lonely, Luke.
So you haven't got a woman?
No, mate, no, single, mate.
Are you interested in getting a woman?
Yeah, but finding the right person. I mean, the place is not out in the desert, you know? I mean, you're 50K inland from the coast, but it's just finding that right person. I've been married, I've got three children. My children all got good jobs, and I've got two grandchildren. But, yeah, I'm a great believer in what the eye don't see, the heart don't greet. So when you're up here working, it's up. I listen to you 4 o'clock every morning. I wake up 4 o'clock and put a coffee on and I put you on and I listen to you and I think, oh man, you know, there's very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, we meet some interesting characters, and you're one of them, Wayne. You're one of those interesting characters. You should go on that TV show, Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yeah, no, mate, no.
No?
Yeah, not smart enough for that.
No, yes, you are.
No, I'm not into that.
Tell me, in Bowen, how long does it take to get to Bowen?
Me, hour and a half from Bowen.
And what's the population of Bowen, do you reckon?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't know now.
Natalie, what's the population of Bowen, Queensland? I'll find out. Is there a pub there? Are there women in Bowen that you could meet?
Yeah, mate, yeah, but I grew up in Bowen and left Bowen in 1982 and went and worked in the mines for 29 years, and I'm going back to the bush.
There you are.
Yep.
Well, look, there might be someone, Wayne. What? Yeah. A bit over 10,000, Nat's telling me, for Bowen. Tell me, there might be a woman listening in who thinks that you sound a bit of all right.
I won't tell you my last name, is it? We're pretty well known North Queensland.
I won't ask. But if there's someone listening, how old are you, Wayne?
I'm 58 this year, mate.
58. So what age would you, if a woman did want to present herself to you and say hello and just get to know you, how old, what sort of age bracket are you looking at?
Around my age, mate, yeah.
About 50, somewhere between 50 and 58.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
And she's going to have to love living on the land.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's going to have to be a good cook.
Oh, yeah. I'm a good cook.
You're a good cook. Well, you see, you sound like a catch.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I am a good catch, actually.
You sound like
I got two Harleys. When I go to town, I go for a ride on my Harley.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's you know, people spend money on golf sticks and buy expensive golf sticks to try and improve their game. But that's a little outlet for me. When I get away from here, fishing. Yeah, I love fishing.
All right, girls, somewhere between 48 and 58, somewhere in that bracket. He lives on a big farm, 50 miles out of Bowen. And how many head of cattle did you say?
Oh, I think there's about 4,500 here, mate.
Wow. 4,500 head of cattle. Yeah, it's a big, very important job. And how many acres?
53,000 acres.
53,000. Yeah. How long, if you were walking from one end of your property to the other, how long would it take?
Oh, mate, I don't know. I've got a push bike. I've put a push bike in the back of the flat. If I break down, I ride the push bike in. There you go.
Fair enough.
And I went and bought myself a personal E-perb. The only thing that worries me if I get bitten by a brown or a taipan, you got limited time. So I went and bought myself a personal E-perb. If I get bitten by a brown, we got first aid kit and the Toyota and everything. But you got limited time, Luke. You know, you got half an hour max.
So so the E-perb sends up a signal, and hopefully someone will see it and come and get you.
No. It's registered. It's just like an E-perb out in a boat. It's registered to Canberra.
Yes.
And if I set that E-perb off, they will send a helicopter either from Townsville to Mackay, and they can locate you within a metre out in the paddock.
You hope.
Yeah, I hope.
Well, that's very good thinking. You've got to, because you might get bitten by a snake and you're out there on your own. You wanted to talk about divining water.
Yeah, mate, yeah. I can't divine water, but I've seen plenty of blokes use forky sticks.
Yes.
And I've seen blokes use pieces of wire. I've seen a bloke, mate of mine, drive down the road in a Toyota with two bits of wire in his hands, and he can divine water, gold, silver.
Yeah, my ex-father-in-law, Richard, he had two pieces of wire, and he would walk along, and these pieces of wire would just suddenly start moving, and where they crossed over is where there was what he had a 100% strike rate.
Yeah, and what they do, Luke, they stamp their feet. They stamp their feet on the ground, and they can tell you exactly how deep that stream is.
Natalie had never heard of divining for water, and she's from the country.
Really? Really? I've got a mate that can walk into a yard.
Yeah.
I've got a mate that walk into a yard with two bits of wire and walk around that yard and tell you where every galvanised pipe, where every bit of galvanised pipe is laid in that yard.
The wires are about this long, but as long as my arm, right? And you hold them like this between your thumb and your finger, and you walk. I've seen my father-in-law do it. He walks, and then all of a sudden, on their own, they cross over.
Yep, that's right.
And
that's
straight down is what you're looking for. I don't know how it works.
That's crazy.
It's true.
Wow, that's crazy.
I honestly think, Luke, they got a lot of electricity in their body, mate.
Like a magnet drawn to it.
It must be something like that. It must be something like that. I wonder how much water is underground.
Oh, mate, there's plenty. I think there's plenty, but like the bloke was talking, they got to build dams inland.
Yes, I know.
We got to retain the water inland. Like there's too much water, like the Burdekin River. When we get rain, too much water goes out in the ocean.
I've said that. I'm sick of saying it. How long have I been saying this, Nat?
Oh, forever.
I've been saying it forever. We have so much water that falls out of the sky up North Queensland during the wet season. And it comes down out of the sky, onto roofs, down the road and into the ocean. And the only way you can use it is for it to go through a desal plant, which costs an absolute fortune and it's ridiculous. We need to be building massive dams and piping water from where it's wasted to where it's needed.
Yeah, too much of it goes down to the ocean, mate. Then they talk about erosion. Landcare talk about erosion and all that. You know, it's all going out of the ocean.
Yep, I know.
I mean, that's been going on for years, Luke.
We need this water more than we need the NBN.
Oh, mate, the government goes and gives them millions of dollars to build a stadium in Townsville to play football.
We're giving the Vietnamese $178 million to build a bridge in Vietnam.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Hey, we are mugs.
So much money.
We are mugs.
Mugs, mate. What about all the farming industry? What about all the fruit they grow and everything they dump in the paddock? Why can't we go and give it to the people that are homeless?
Yeah.
They dump it in the paddock because it's got a mark on it. It's got to be first grade or we won't buy it.
Did you know, Wayne, can I call you Wayne boy?
You can call me whatever you like, mate. Just don't punch me on the nose because I'll give you a flogging.
Yeah, you would. I reckon you would give me a flogging. In France, they've passed a law. It is illegal for supermarkets to throw food out. They have to, by law, donate it to charity.
Charity, yeah, exactly.
That's the law in France.
Yep.
Didn't something similar used to happen here, and then someone got sick and then ended up suing the supermarket?
Yeah, maybe. It does ring a bell.
And that's why they stopped it? And same dumpster diving. People got into diving through dumpsters. And taking food out, and then they started putting padlocks all over the dumpsters.
Yeah.
You know, Luke, I'm a great believer. Every town should have a homeless shelter.
Mm.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to work, and there's a lot of good people out there that do want to work but haven't got the opportunity. I've got a disability, mate. I was born with no fingers on my right hand.
Really?
I can swing a sorry about that.
Nearly. You got very close there. You were born without any fingers on your right hand?
That's right.
Really?
So, yes. Are you able to use your right hand? Or
what? Oh, mate, I ride horses, I ride quads, I'm a mechanic, I use chainsaws, do anything.
You're born without any fingers?
Yep. And then people talk about a disability, and here I am out running the property.
Well, you're a star. Mm. You're an absolute star, Wayne. I've really enjoyed talking to you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Luke. Yeah, good talking to you, mate. But I could talk to you for hours about issues. But
why don't you ring me more often?
I will. I don't normally talk to people. Like I'm a bit reserved. And
so 48 to 58.
Yep.
Somewhere there. He's got to love outdoors. You've heard him.
Got to love the farm. That's
bikes,
a life. Yep.
Horses. Cattle, 4,500 head of cattle. He's on 53,000 acres. He does it. He's doing it on his own.
Yeah, with one hand.
With one hand. Yeah. Do you know what he needs?
Incredible.
He needs a right-hand man.
hey, Luke, I go in and buy a pair of gloves. I said, listen, mate, love, I only want to buy the left hand. She said, you got to buy both of them. I said, mate, I only need the left. He said, we can't sell you the left. We've got to sell you the both. I said, surely the Christ, there's someone out there that's got no fingers on the left hand, and I just want the left hand. You can sell the right hand to someone else that's got no fingers on the left hand. They won't sell them to me.
That's very funny. Wayne, I've got to let you go. Call me back any time.
I will, Luke. I will now. Yeah, mate. Yeah, not a problem. I get up 4 o'clock every morning and listen to you, and yeah.
Well, it's a bit early now. It's 5 to 2 where you are.
I should be asleep.
You
mate.
Should be asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm keeping you awake. Off you go.
I've been hanging around for too long. Get on the line.
I'm sorry, but look, you call me back anytime.
No, mate, you're right. No, you're doing a champ. You're doing a top job, eh? There's a lot of people out there hurting.
Thank you, mate. G'day, Bob.
How you going? All right.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Yeah, mate, yeah, I'll let the full up because if I was go further south, I'd be running in a dead spot. Anyway, I work 6 days a week. I've never been on the dole. I'm sick and tired. I've paid good taxes. I've paid maybe over $32,000 tax this year. As I work 6 days a week, as I said. And I'm sick of the government wasting our taxpayers' money.
Hear, hear.
Mate. I've been kicked off Facebook because of my rant and raving about the government wasting our money. We need independent watchdogs, state and federal. This bloke that they wanted, that Neil Rakesh or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Neil Prakash, Prakash, I think. Neil Prakash. Yeah, this is this guy who's in Turkey. He was granted freedom last Friday. We talked about it on this program. We were trying to extradite him here to Australia, and no good. Didn't work.
Yeah, well, I hope it doesn't because, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to use our money to get him over here, charge him for the charges that he's been accused of, or he's probably done, and then put him in jail, again, wasting our money, and then deporting him anyway.
Yeah. Well, he is...
These people in jail that are foreigners, don't put him in jail. I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree with me. Don't put him in jail. Send him back to where they come from, you know, overseas, and I don't care if they don't go to jail over there. Just don't let him back in the country.
Do you know what? When we talked about this last Friday, I've got to be honest with you, Bob, I tend to agree with you. Yes, bringing this bloke to justice on terrorist charges, because he has confessed that he belongs to Islamic State. I tend to agree with you. Gim, just
leave him there. We don't need him here.
I agree with you. If there's someone out there listening that thinks me and Bob are wrong and that he should be extradited to face charges back here, ring and tell us. But I'm with Bob. Let the prick stay over there.
Exactly. And with these bleak people that, we're not going to let you go overseas because you might fight for another country, let them go.
Yep. In fact, I'll pay the airfare one way.
Exactly. I mean, it'll be cheaper than getting our tax and paying all these criminals to be in jail and looking after their health and clothing them and feeding them. How much is costing a prisoner, you know, that shouldn't be, it should be deported straight away? When he's convicted of a crime, deport him, and I don't care if he doesn't go to jail in another country, you know? We need an independent, I've been kicked off Facebook. I should watch my blood pressure, but anyway, I've been kicked off Facebook I have a few followers, and I'd like to take it further, but these major parties, I can see Pauline Hanson and Dick Smith not even making a dent. They're not going to go anywhere, because these major parties, I've got a carter, and a bloke sent me a carter in a caption.
Yeah.
Where a bloke standing on the stage, and a heap of followers in front of him saying, "Who wants change?" And all their hands are up in the air. And then underneath it, the next cartoon is the same thing. "Who wants to change?" And everybody's got their hand out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Very good. Send it to me. Can you send it to me on Facebook or email it to me?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And I've been kicked off Facebook.
Facebook, you got complaints, did you?
Yeah, I didn't get complaints. They just cut me off.
Really?
Cut me off. Well, I don't know what happened to freedom of speech, but, you know, I've been talking to a member for One Nation. I was going to join, but from what I gather, I've only got a handful of followers. I'm not going to get anywhere. I know I'm not going to get anywhere because I'll be shut down either by... I mean, you just got to look at the bloke called Tommy Robinson in the UK. You know?
Hey, listen, have a crack, Bob. Have a crack. Look at Jackie Lambie.
I know. They can't call me racist. My parents are Hungarian. I was born in this country. I love this country. And I'm scared for my children and for my grandchildren what's going to happen.
Yeah, no one's calling you racist. Like, you haven't said anything that's slightly racist. I tend to agree with you, and I thought this when I broke the story when we talked about it last Friday. Neil Prakash, free, won't be extradited to Australia. And I was thinking to myself, good, who cares? And how much would it cost for us to prosecute him? How many lawyers would it involve? And if he is prosecuted, then we've got to pay for him to be in jail here.
Yeah, when I talked to this bloke, One Nation, from One Nation the other day, he said, go talk to a member of parliament. But he's going to fill me up with lies. I say, and what, one of my big things is what you've been talking about, is water. How hard is it to send water from the tropics of North Queensland or Northern Australia? Don't even put it underground. Just put it above the ground, a pipeline to their regional...
Hey, listen, they don't have water restrictions in Dubai.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, mate, I'm just scratching my head.
And you got this bloke, this farmer, who's going to have to shoot 1,200 of his sheep because he can't feed them.
We're giving money to Vietnamese to build a bloody bridge.
Yes, we are. $178 million. Here's this bloke farmer Les Jones. Natalie, we're going to try and get Les on the program this week, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. This poor bloke, his sheep are living skeletons. He's going to have to shoot 1,200, all of his sheep. He's going to shoot them all and get a bulldozer and push them into a mass grave.
Mm.
I'm not kidding.
This bloke I spoke to on I think a Friday, about the One Nation, I said, how come all this money goes to aid? He said, it's a part of the United Nations. I said, we haven't even got a seat on the United Nations. And we've been invited for the last couple of years, but we don't have a seat in the United. So what have they taken more? Because the country's organised this and organised that. I mean, you know.
It makes you shake your head. Listen, thanks for your call, Bob.
We need independent watchdog, federal and state.
I agree. And you might have been kicked off Facebook, mate, but you won't be kicked off this program for talking common sense, okay?
Thanks, buddy. Look after yourself. Take care, eh?
You too. Hello, Heath.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, very good. Where are you?
I'm in Melbourne.
Okay. And how old are you?
I am 23 years old.
23. Why are you up?
I've just finished work.
And what do you do?
I work at Woolworths. I'm a night field team member.
Okay. What, you stack the shelves?
Yeah, I work in the milk department.
In the what department?
Milk department.
The milk
long
department.
Life.
Okay.
Yeah, stuck in the freezer. I started at 6 this evening and finished just after midnight.
All right. Well, good on you, mate. You're working hard. Now, what can we talk about?
I just want to talk to you about the fact about the ugly scenes that happened down in Geelong. I actually watched that game over the weekend, mm-hmm. and I was seeing the footage online, and I was absolutely appalled and disgusted. And to see that's now what's happening at AFL games, I'm just at an absolute shock. And speaking of that, I actually went to an AFL game today because I follow Hawthorn. Went to Hawthorn Carlton, and there was even there was. A little brawl at the game today, where and directly in the same stand as I was sitting, and they just the AFL really needs to get this under control, and they've trolled actually some today. I found at Etihad Stadium that they weren't serving, that all the bars were closed and they weren't serving any alcohol because they're trying this new system to, it reckons it will prevent any alcohol fueled violence at footy games, but
so they're banning alcohol.
Yeah, they're trying it at Etihad, yes, and they're going to look at talks to bring it all around all the venues in the where the AFL clubs play at.
Completely banning alcohol, because I know that there are a lot of other sporting venues where you cannot buy full strength beer. You buy light beer. But are you saying that the AFL is seriously looking at completely banning all alcohol?
100% yes, because of that. They reckon it's going to reduce the number of brawls at games, and because most of it is full. The reason why the effects of it is because of the alcohol involved.
Because the venues will lose a hell of a lot of money if they can't sell grog.
That is true, but the thing is, and if the AFL does that and gets that enforced, people are going to start bringing in hip flasks and bringing their own stuff in. So
they probably already are.
Yeah, well, wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you. And it's just disgusting, and especially if you got a family with kids around, and they don't really need to see that idiotic and stupid behaviour. As far as I'm concerned, the ones that start brawling with each other, they both deserve to be kicked in the ass and thrown out.
Yeah, there's plenty of cameras. They can identify them easy enough. And that brawl yesterday between Melbourne and Geelong, I was watching. Were you actually there at the game?
No, I wasn't at the game, but I seen the footage on Facebook and the video afterwards of the brawl. It was just...
Yeah, and you can clearly see children watching.
Yeah, it was just... It's just horrific. And what probably would have started was because, of course, the Geelong supporter would have said a smart remark to the Melbourne supporter, and then that's what probably would have started it all.
So, I'm going to look into this, Heath. The AFL are seriously looking at banning all alcohol at all venues. Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're thinking of, yes.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty drastic. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's one person, well, a couple of people ruin it for everybody else. Like, I wanted to have a drink today, but yeah, I walked around another and all the venues closed. I'm like, damn, seriously, see, one person ruins it for everybody.
All the
just complete.
You're at the Hawthorn match and you couldn't buy grog.
Nope.
You know, I guess, is it possible to enjoy a football game without having to drink beer?
Well, yes. Well, it actually is too, because then you're more wiser and you're more smarter with yourself, and then you can take yourself out of trouble. Because honestly, yeah, I may be young and all that, but I see grown-ups in their like 40s and whatnot, 30s and 40s, like brawling with each other. It's just, I think myself, you guys are just a pack of morons. Seriously. It's not a good look for the AFL either, so.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, let's ask the folks what they think. Should alcohol be banned at sporting venues? Hey, listen, Heath, you're only 23. You play sport?
Yes, I do. I play footy myself.
Did you play footy when you were a little boy?
Yes, I definitely did. I started playing at the age of 14.
14. Now, did you see parents on the sidelines screaming at their kids?
Yes, I did. And we even had, and if they did something wrong, they even had their own parents who were abusing them because they either gave away a free kick or completely missed a goal or didn't apply the tackle properly. And I just stare around and I look, think myself, you're abusing your own child. That's just really low. Have some respect and be more supportive towards your child for once in your life. And don't be such an arrogant little
prick.
So-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah, prick, exactly. And it's just sad.
Yeah. I'm just looking here at a story published on the 3AW website on the 1st of July. AFL boss Gillon McLachlan says the league won't be banning alcoholic games. It follows multiple incidents of crowd violence in recent weeks. Alcohol has been blamed by some for the ugly scenes. Neil Mitchell asked McLaren if the league had considered a dry game. Not really, Mr. McLachlan responded. What we have to have is people behaving properly. I don't think we need to go that far. People should be able to have a glass of wine or beer or whatever they want at the footy. But you need to behave civilly, respect the other patrons and have zero tolerance to the behaviour, not the cause. So that goes back 23 days.
Yep, 23 days.
23 days. And that's Gillon McLachlan.
Yep.
Who says the league won't be banning alcoholic games.
I reckon it should because, like, yeah, I know, like, some people want to have a glass of water or a beer, but you can enjoy a sporting game at a venue without alcohol. Like, it'll be more enjoyable for everybody else, and it will cut down dramatically on the alcohol-fueled violence.
Well, that's the theory. That's the theory. But I'm just looking at that story there. It's the 1st of July. Talking to Neil Mitchell, he says that the league won't be looking at banning alcohol. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Heath, I've got to keep moving, buddy. Good to talk to you. There he is. Hello, Russell. Russell, what's up, mate?
Mate, I'm just talking about that earlier in the show, so it was in the show all the time. You're talking about farmers down in the south. I'm in Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
We have a phenomenal amount of rain and water. And I worked up in the Northern Territory,
yep,
and the Kimberleys, and years and years ago, they were talking about putting a. We've got the Tinneroo Dam system that, way back in the '40s, it's a concrete grid system that fed all the farmers.
Yep.
With water.
Right.
You know, and this was spoke about a long time ago. Up in the Kimberleys, the Ord River area, that there's that much water that flows in, fresh water that flows in the ocean, even though we know we need, even for in the north for the reefs, we need the fresh water, but so much fresh water gets wasted.
I know.
It should be flowing. The government talked about this a long time ago. I don't want to get political, but.
No, I've talked about it, Russell. You say you listen to this show.
Brother. There's so much water, and can you imagine? And it's a straight track. It's straight from the top of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We build a huge, big drain. It's going to cost billions, but we're going to all the water, excess water, that goes to nowhere is going to go down to where it's needed.
I've talked about it. Russell, you tell me that you listen to this program regularly. That's exactly what I've been saying. Have you heard me say that?
I've heard you say that a while ago. But
yeah.
No one's listening, brother. Now, this is like I just drove a vehicle from the Gold Coast, went down with my business, picked a vehicle up, drove it from the Gold Coast to Cairns. As soon as you get anywhere near North Queensland, the roads go to shit. And that's what happens up here. That the infrastructure in the North Queensland's crap, that pumps so much into the south, but they're still on the other side. They're not looking after where we could be putting this big drain. Basically, it's a big, huge, big drain that all their excess water can go
to where it's needed, from where it's wasted to where it's needed. I've said that 100 times, Russell. It is going to cost billions. It's going to cost a squillion. I think we need this, though, more than we needed the NBN.
By 100%.
Yeah, I've been saying it. Russell, I've been saying it.
Money. Oh, sorry for swearing. That's the biggest waste of money. Hello?
I've been saying it. We waste so much money, and we've got to start looking at drought-proofing Australia. Otherwise, you know, we'll go broke. Otherwise, we'll go broke because we've always had droughts. Got nothing to do with climate change. Nothing. We've had droughts here for 60,000 years that we know of.
Mate,
but we have water that's wasted, and we need to move it to where it's needed.
You're 100% right. And that's why it was 1942. Tinneroo Dam was built above Cairns. And they've got a system in there that feeds all the farmers. Okay, the dam gets low. Your water... You can't draw so much water off it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But look, here's something else I'll throw in there. And I thank you very much for your call, Russell. You and I are in fierce agreement, but no one's listening. This is something I don't know a lot about, but I know you out there in Triple M land do know about it, and that is bore water. How much water is actually in the aquifer and is it everywhere? Should we be sinking bores on these farms? Would that help?
No, we can't because that's been flogged out also. The big mining companies have been flogging because the big mining companies need lots and lots of water to run their mines. They've been boring down and pumping all the water out, and this is water that's not actually going to our farmers once again, and they're changing the system also, where from the north, people just don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't understand it either. I'm not a farmer and I'm not a geologist. I don't know. But my ex-father-in-law, believe it or not, Russell, he used to divine for water. And he used to have these two metal rods. You've seen it. And farmers used to hire him. And he used to go onto these properties and he'd hold these metal rods and then they would cross over. And where they crossed over straight down was where they'd find water. And he had 100% strike rate.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it. We might put a shout out, Natalie. Does anyone out there know how that divining for water works? It's like magic, it's witchcraft. But this is what this old bloke who fled Hungary in 1956, he had this special power. He could find water on farms through divining.
Yeah. Yeah, water divining. Yep.
How do they do it?
Well, that was a gift. But now they've got a machine that'll tell you where the water is, where that's...
There's a machine now, is it?
They'll tell you everything.
Well, this guy, Richard was his name, he had a 100% strike rate.
Yep.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway, good on you, Russell. Good to talk, old mate, and you take care of yourself. Thanks for your call and thanks for your input. Appreciate it. 133353 is the telephone number here on the night shift. Does anyone out there know about divining for water? How does it work? I wonder how much water we have below the surface in the aquifers. Is that another way of trying to drought-proof Australia? Why? Well, I guess if it could be done, it would be done by now, wouldn't it? Well, my next guest has an amazing story. His name is Will Patterson, and he's just an ordinary bloke. But he found himself serving time in a Melbourne maximum security prison for crimes he thought he would never, ever commit. He spent 9 months in jail. The 42-year-old father had a wife, a son, a comfortable house in Melbourne's eastern suburbs, but he had mounting bills, he had debts, financial pressure that ultimately led to the former insurance company employee to cash a cheque that had mistakenly been made out in his name. And before you know it, he'd stolen $300,000. The first amount of money that he took, $5,000. Then he said, well, that was easy. I've still got some debt. We might try that again. And after you've committed a crime in the first place, he was telling me that it's very easy to do it again. And before you know it, you're completely lost. So he went to jail. They were cracking down on white-collar crime. And the things that this bloke saw in jail, no one should have to. He joins me on the phone this morning. Welcome to the Night Shift across Australia on the Triple M network, Will.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
Wow. What a story. What a story.
Yeah, I know. It's not something I'd ever thought I'd be writing, let me tell you.
How tough is it in jail?
Oh, look, maximum security is very tough. I was lucky I didn't spend all my time at Port Phillip in Melbourne. That's our maximum security jail. I actually spent most of my time at a low security place up in northern Victoria. But it's scary. It's unknown, and it's, you know, you've seen every movie. You've seen Shawshank. You've seen Orange is the New Black. You go in thinking all of that's true, all of it.
It's all true. But why would a white-collar criminal, a father, a husband, no priors, be sent to maximum security? When on this program we get call after call, Will, from people who have had terrible things done to them and the perpetrator only getting 12 months, 15 months or even a suspended sentence?
Everybody goes to maximum security in Victoria. And right. the theory is the two maximum security jails in Victoria are privately owned and you need one thing to keep a privately run prison running, and it's prisoners. So every single person goes from the Melbourne Assessment Prison to one of the private prisons in Victoria before they go to their final prison. And the private prisons get paid for every prisoner they take.
Of course. All right.
So I'm not drawing any conclusions. I don't want to be sued, but I'll leave that bit of information with you.
Let's talk about this money you stole. You saw an opportunity to get some...
Oh, well, I was in deep. I think a lot of your listeners would understand this. I had car debts, I had mortgage, I had renovations on the house, and I was just sitting at home freaking out about how am I going to get all these bills paid. And I went to work one day, and like you said, a check landed on my desk, which was in my name. It was in the name of Will Patterson. My job was to cancel the checks that came back to the company after we paid someone out. So we paid a bloke named Will Patterson out. He didn't live where we'd sent the cheque anymore, and it came back home to my desk. And instead of doing the right thing and cancelling it, I put it in my drawer for a few days and thought about it, and then I put it in the bank.
So it was a cheque to another Will Patterson?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry to him. Yep, he never got his money.
And then you kept stealing. You stole nearly $300,000. Did your wife know you were doing this?
No.
She had no idea?
Didn't have a clue. No, she didn't know. And in fact, she worked for the same company. So when I got found out, she went through all sorts of trouble because they had to find out whether or not she had anything to do with it.
Yes,
so,
of course.
Yeah, caused a lot of heartache.
Let's talk about some of the things that happen to you when you go to jail.
Tell me
about this pack that you get.
Oh, your welcome pack?
Your welcome pack when you go to jail.
Yeah, righto. So I went into jail when you could still smoke. So the immediate needs pack you get when you walk through the door of Melbourne Assessment Prison is this. It's $3 of phone credit, packet of cigarettes, box of matches, a little toothbrush and a little toothpaste. You get one packet of coffee, one tea bag, one packet of sugar and a little bottle of milk and two condoms. And I walked away from that line thinking, who's made the decision that my welcome is only going to involve one cup of coffee, but my welcome might involve two condoms?
Jesus.
Yeah. So then you
Yes, welcome to jail. You get one cup of coffee, but hang on, here's two condoms.
Just in case, yeah, that's right.
Holy my.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you listening to this, folks? That's your immediate needs pack. Welcome to maximum security.
And also not do you smoke, but here's a pack of ciggies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess if you didn't smoke, it was currency, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it was currency. By 10 o'clock on the first day, my immediate needs pack had been stolen. And it was just gone out of the cell.
So even the condoms?
Even the condoms. They just, because it was all in a little Ziploc bag, they just took the whole thing.
I believe you had an interesting nickname.
Oh, I did have an interesting nickname. So just before I went to jail, I lost a heap of weight. I went from like 140 kilos to 95 kilos. And when you do that at my age, you always end up with some loose skin, which mine's all around the top of my legs. So I was having a shower one day. One of the other blokes walked in just as I was starting to dry myself, and he goes, "Jesus, Patterson, your dick looks like it's got saddlebags." And so so then saddlebags became the nickname. I got to, yeah.
So you were called saddlebags. Yeah. Were you scared for your safety?
There were times when I was, yeah.
Tell me about it.
The second day, I the guy who I was in the cell with, who was like me, he was a white collar, he was off doing medical or something, and I wanted to go for a walk around the exercise yard. And everything in my brain said to me, don't go for a walk around the exercise yard. That's a stupid idea, you know. I finally built up the courage, started going for a walk around the exercise yard, and I was completely ignored by everybody.
Mm.
Because they just looked at me and went, he's not a threat. He's not interesting. Which, you know, I was 95% relieved, and I was just a tiny little bit offended that I didn't look like a threat. I mean, I don't. I'm a big marshmallow. But look, the time when I was the most scared, I was just sitting. It was at Port Phillip. I was sitting having a cup of tea, and there was a bloke on the phone, and another bloke walked up and gave him that, you know, that hand signal of, can I use the phone next?
Mm-hmm.
Gave him that hand signal, and this bloke covered the mouthpiece of the phone and went off at this other guy. I'm talking about my life here. I'm talking about my family. Why don't you get, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the other guy who was waiting at the phone just went, okay, and walked back into his cell, came back out in a bomber jacket, and it was too warm to have a bomber jacket on. Went into the kitchen, put some bread in the toaster, came back out and stabbed this guy three times in the side, just bang, 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 stabbed him. And then
you saw that?
And I saw that happen, yeah. I saw that happen. And the guy that I was sitting with just grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. He was an old-timer. He just grabbed my shirt and he said, get back into your cell. Get into your cell right now. And basically threw me back into my cell. So that by the time the crash alarm happened, I was in my cell, and I was never questioned about whether I'd seen anything because the guards just assumed I was in my cell the whole time.
That's like the movie Chopper.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, it is like something from a movie. Yeah, you wouldn't want to write it, but that was the moment. That was, I was 5 days into prison when that happened, and that was the moment when I thought my life's never going to be the same.
Your life will never be the same, and it hasn't been. Did that guy survive?
I don't know. He was, because we got locked down, so he got taken away. He was alive when I last saw him, but it was never spoken about, so I don't know.
Wow. I'm talking to Will Patterson, who is a bloke that spent some time in jail, and he's written a book about it. We have a lot of people who have spent time in jail listening to this program. I wonder if they're relating. Give us a call. 133353 is the telephone number. So, has your life never been the same? What's life like now?
Life's very different now, but it's back on track. I'll tell you, the thing that jail does for you, if you're smart, is it gives you time to reflect on what's important in your life. Before I went in, and the crime that I did that got me in there of greed, basically, of stealing, it was all about stuff and things. And if you come around to my house, you'd say, oh, Will's got a lot of cool stuff, right? And when I came home, I had nothing. And now I have a life. I've got this incredible fiance. I've got an amazing relationship with my son who went through the whole journey with me. And it's because what jail taught me was focus on people and relationships, not things.
And your wife, your marriage obviously didn't last.
No, that's right. Marriage didn't survive.
Did it collapse as soon as you went to jail?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Did your wife feel terribly betrayed, or was it on shaky ground anyway?
It wasn't on shaky ground. She was just completely shocked when it was revealed to her that it had happened.
What did you say to her when you were found?
Well, I got pulled into a room at work, this is the awful bit, she worked for the same company. So I got pulled into a room at work, I got asked, I admitted straight away, I said, yep, I did it, whatever you're about to ask me, if I've taken, I did it. And then they made me ring her and tell her while they were listening. So awful thing to happen to her. But when I think about it later, I think, well, they were trying to listen in to see if she had anything to do with it.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know. They'd already questioned her. And so I rang her and she's like, this and this has happened at work and I can't understand it. And I had to say to her, whatever they've told you I've done, I've done. And basically that was the start of the end.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. Will Patterson, Mr. Ordinary, goes to jail. And I thank you so much for your time this morning. What have you learnt?
I've learnt, like I said just before, I've learnt to focus on what's important, and what's important is my kid. What's important is my life with my fiance now. What's important is when I got home, I actually got a chance to get a decent job and build a new life. I think all of that's really important.
Yeah, that was my next question. How it must have been almost, I would have thought it almost impossible to get another job after that.
It's so hard. And like, I'm not, like, I was a clean skin before I went to jail, and I wouldn't have thought, I would have thought people could look past it and go, oh, he's a decent bloke, he just made a mistake. They don't. As soon as you say, and when I came out, I was like, I've got to tell people the truth, I've got to tell people the truth. So I got to the end of three or four job processes, and then they'd go, we've just got to do a police check. And I'd say, well, there's something you're going to find. Bang, end of story, don't want you, not interested. I was just really lucky that the company that I work for now didn't ask the question when I went for the job the first time. And my dad had given me some really good advice. He'd said, at least work for them for a week, show them you're a decent guy, and then maybe they'll give you a chance. But there must be hundreds of blokes like me who get out of jail who don't get given that chance. And so they fall into crime because it's the only thing that's left to them. But it's awful. It's a broken part of our system.
Look, there's so much more I want to talk to you about. Maybe we can talk again.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to.
I wish you all the best.
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's been nice meeting you, Will.
Good on you.
Former prisoner Will Patterson, Mr. Ordinary, goes to jail. Unbelievable stuff, eh?